how far would you go to better understand a historical figure? I'd probably be willing to read a very long book. But Only a Game's Gary Wallach has the story of a man who went much, much further than that.
Philip Smucker has been fascinated with George Washington since he was a kid.
My mother would say, well, can't you be a little more like George Washington? And I always felt like I could never live up to that.
Maybe not, but if anyone could, it would be one of Washington's descendants, right?
I do have a family connection on my mother's side.
In fact, Smucker is Washington's fifth great-grandnephew. When Smucker was in college, he began researching his great-great-great-great-great-uncle, and he learned that Washington excelled in every sport he played.
He was an immensely tall gentleman for his day. Being 6'2", he was a good 6-7 inches taller than the average colonial. He grew up on a horse like a lot of Virginians. They used to say that a Virginian would chase his horse for 2 hours just to ride it 2 miles to church because they wanted to be seen on a horse. Thomas Jefferson mentioned that he was the greatest equestrian he'd ever seen.
Washington loved fox hunting in particular.
Back in the day when George was learning, it had a kind of a military edge to it. You were trying to ride well and jump over fences because you might have to do that eventually in a battle. It was the one sport that he was passionate about. Sometimes he would go hunting 4 or 5 times in a 10-day period.
A few years ago, Smucker began to wonder what role sports might have played in shaping Washington. So he spent 5 years following in the footsteps of his ancestor. He began by learning how to fox hunt, somewhat reluctantly.
I kind of had a certain queasiness about learning how to hunt foxes. I always rooted for the fox, and I was lucky most of the time that I was with them hunting. The fox did get away, and I could still learn the sport.
Smucker's classrooms were the hills, woods, and ravines of Washington's old stomping grounds in the Shenandoah Valley, where George had once ridden as a young surveyor. There it was easy for Smucker to see how his great-great-great-great-great-uncle's fox hunting training contributed to his battlefield bravado. In 1775, Washington accepted his appointment as full general and commander-in-chief of the Continental Army.
George Washington loved to ride into the heat of a battle, and he loved to be at the forefront of that battle. And it was only his equestrian skills that allowed him to dodge bullets, to ride through the smoke, to win a victory there at Princeton.
The Battle of Princeton was fought on January 3, 1777, when the Continental Army attacked the British garrison at Princeton, New Jersey. Washington and his army were in danger of being completely overrun by 2 British Army regiments commanded by British Colonel Charles Mawhood. Many generals would have sat back from the chaos and directed his soldiers from afar, but not Washington.
George rode into the middle of this battle on a white horse as the Continental Army was retreating, and he rose up on the hind legs of his horse, and his aide-de-camp pulled his hat over his eyes and hid himself because he thought the general was going to die immediately. When Colonel Mawhood turned and ran, George shouted to his men, "It's a fine fox chase, my boys."
The Continental Army won the pivotal Battle of Princeton. Washington's bravery is immortalized by a famous portrait of him rallying his troops while aboard a rearing white horse.
I have been a horseman as long as I remember. My name is George Washington, and you can call me Mr. Washington.
Actually, that's Ron Carnegie, a character interpreter at Colonial Williamsburg. Smucker met with him on his journey of Washingtonian discovery. And Carnegie stayed in character for our conversation, too. Mr. Washington agrees that being a horseman made him better at being a general.
Also, to be honest, if I might say it, attracting women, because it's also excellent for your calves.
But when it came to attracting fair colonial damsels, there was another sport available to Virginians that surpassed all others.
Any ball or assembly, particularly a formal one, will begin with the minuets.
A minuet is a dance with a fixed sequence of left and right hand dance patterns, often followed by variations as couples see fit.
That'll be done one couple at a time, starting with the highest socially ranked couple in attendance, down to the lowest. That's one couple at a time with the rest of the participants watching, viewing, and often judging.
Philip Smucker learned that Washington's love of dance equaled his love for all things equestrian. So Smucker took minuet lessons in Williamsburg with a colonial etiquette expert.
Well, I think that maybe I got three steps into a minuet before my self-confidence completely collapsed. Everybody in the circle is looking at you, and they'll certainly even make fun of you. In Virginia in that day, there were a lot of giggles going on when people tried and failed to dance. And it was very competitive, kind of like Dancing with the Stars today.
I wonder if Mr. Washington knows that show.
I'm not familiar with it, but it wouldn't surprise me, sir.
So why was George so interested in the minuet?
I suffer a deficiency of education. I should have perhaps mentioned that earlier. And I grew up in the country. I have long been of the opinion and the fear that I come across as just a simple country bumpkin. And I've endeavored to improve upon that as best I may. And certainly your bearing and your carriage is an important aspect of the minuet.
Smucker learned that as Washington mastered the minuet, he rose through Virginia's social ranks and developed the self-confidence that had been absent in his youth.
And he felt comfortable amongst his peers, I think, because he was a great dancer. The first time he ever went to the South when he was president, almost every Southern woman wanted to dance with George Washington. And he continued to show his prowess on the dance floor till the waning years of his life.
Washington's other sporting loves included fishing, fencing, archery, and the throwing of weights, which he claimed he could launch further than junior officers half his age. And he bowled.
It's an ancient game. They say that Drake played it when the Armada was threatening England.
And I thought, well, if I'm going to meet and talk to George about his sporting prowess, we're going to have to do something.
So the two met in Williamsburg.
I took him to a bowling green. We bowled and I showed him the game. I'm sure he did well for a man who hadn't been engaged in the sport before.
Perhaps bowling, dancing, riding, and all the rest helped Washington cope with the burdens of leadership and horrors of war. Philip Smucker is a journalist who's reported from war zones in Afghanistan, Iraq, Bosnia, Serbia, and elsewhere. He's seen a lot. Maybe that's why he felt such a profound connection to his famous great-great-great-great-great-uncle.
The one thing he learned from war, and I think that he articulated well in some letters that he wrote, was that, you know, it was errant, it was folly, it was about a false glory. And he always encouraged people to engage in entertainment and fun, and I think he loved sport for that very reason.
Still, if Washington were alive today, perhaps he'd be amused that anybody would be interested in his sporting life.
I wish more had paid attention to my farewell address than perhaps the games I played, sir. But then again, politics is just another game, isn't it?
That's Only a Game's Gary Wallach talking with Ron Carnegie and Philip Smucker. You can learn more about Washington's sporting pursuits in Smucker's new book, Riding with George. And you can catch Ron Carnegie as George Washington at Colonial Williamsburg.